Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annalie.
Good morning, Annalie. This is so much fun getting back and talking about these subjects we've been talking about.
I agree. It's going to be lovely. And we're going to talk about something exciting about dreams.
Yes.
Dreams that are a part of our everyday life or our every night life, really.
Yes.
Unless we sleep during the day. But then we dream also, right?
Yes.
Because dreams happen every time we sleep.
Yes.
Whether we know it or not, whether we are aware of it or want to make it aware for us.
Yes.
And the science also has many ideas about dreams and sleep and have put, I think, more interest actually in what sleep does for health and for how much sleep we need and uninterrupted sleep, that is.
Yes. And it said that when somebody has not been able to sleep for quite a while, they'll start dreaming while they're awake. In other words, they're hallucinating.
Oh, my goodness.
And when they do finally go back into sleep, they spend the first whole 8 hours just doing dreams after dreams after dreams.
Oh.
And then after that, it goes into the part of the rejuvenation of the body.
Right, exactly, because there is a lot of recharging that happens physically also when we sleep.
Yes.
But when we look, you know, they talk about the sleep cycle, that there is like a cycle, maybe even more than one cycle every time we sleep. And it could be of different length, like 2 hours maybe or even more. And that you have these REM, right? Rapid eye movement sleep.
Yes, yes.
And also the deep sleep,
yes,
where no dreams are happening at all.
That we remember.
Right.
But
there could be dreams going on, I guess.
Yeah, it could be something that's more related to the physical body.
Oh, okay.
But at one time when I was really studying this in depth, it seemed like every hour and a half to 2 hours, I woke up with a dream.
Oh, wow.
And write them down.
That's very often.
Yes.
And you wrote them down?
Oh, yes, each time.
Because you were interested in your dreams at that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, most of them I could not interpret right away. I would wait to the end of the day, got home from work, and then sit down and I'd start interpreting. It'd take a couple hours just interpreting all of them.
Right, to sort of look into the symbolic. Yeah, let's get back to that. I'm thinking of these sleep cycles and when you're deprived of sleep, how unhealthy that is.
That it is.
Dreams really has to be a part of something very essential in our recharging, right?
Yeah.
So it's a part of our staying healthy, like going out and taking a walk, like eating nutritious food. It's sort of a very essential part of our of our both physical and mental health.
Yes. Yeah, because a person can go insane, like hallucinating. Mm. It could be go insane without the dream.
You know, when I had my kids were small, that was sometimes a period of time when sleep was interrupted frequently, and that was really hard.
Yes.
And I got really grumpy and angry and irritated and so on. So,
I can imagine.
So it's really important just to stay as healthy as we can be.
Yes. Yeah.
So the sleep cycle needs to be uninterrupted. But of course, if we have done, some people say they can manage without very much sleep. So I suppose if they have a whole 1 or 2 cycles, that might be enough.
My mother was that way. She never needed more than 5 hours a night.
Wow, I could never stand that.
I couldn't either. And she was outside for most of the time. So she was, well, that's a whole different subject.
Right, right.
But, you know, everybody has their own areas. My father always needed about 9 or 10 hours sleep.
Right. So that could have to do also with the need of dreaming, maybe.
Yeah.
It was Freud, wasn't it, that started with putting some attention to dreams and the need for them.
Yeah, and Jung came along further.
Right, he went into that symbolic life of dreams.
Yes.
How pregnant those symbols are that come out, you know.
Yes.
They're full of emotions and But I guess these symbols are very personal, aren't they?
They are. You could say somebody who has blue in their dreams and is very happy and just carefree, and somebody else would see it as always sad and always angry, and somebody else would see it as loyal. So these dream books that you may pick up in the stores, some of them are pretty good and some of them are too specific.
Okay.
I think the best one I've ever encountered was by Tony Crisp. He's a British writer called Do You Dream? And I don't even know if it's still available.
Okay.
But half of the book, it tells you how to work with your dreams, and half of the book is dictionary. And sometimes I would see about 4 or 5 lines just filled with words. 1 or 2 words, it can mean this. 1 or 2 words can mean that. 1 or 2 words, something else.
Exactly.
And it's up to the individual to intuit what that is.
Right.
And it is... My studies indicated, I found out, is that this is all learning your own metaphor, your own spiritual language.
Oh, so the symbols are actually really talking only to us,
yes.
In a way.
Yes.
It's our own sort of understanding of our world with the symbols we use.
Yes, and you could share your dream with some other people, and the other people could say, well, if I had that dream, it would have done this. If I had this dream, somebody else would say it would have been done this.
Right.
I was at a lecture recently where there must have been about 15 people commenting on one person's dream, and everybody said, well, if I had a dream, it would be this. And every single person had something different.
Different, yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah. So we have our own language.
Yes.
And our own understanding. But it's something good with sharing your dream, I think.
Yes.
I have often thought that other way of having a book circle or a book talk or book group would be to have dream groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I also recently, or it's a while ago, I read about an article in a magazine about dream groups and how good they are for sharing dreams. And also the goal, I think, there was really to share your... Because if dreams say something about our inner life and what's going on there, and also helps us maybe release some emotions or some things we have encountered that we have sort of an issue with, then of course to sort of put it down in words, also in our awake state, would enrich, you know, our understanding of it.
Yes.
And to look at it and also to share it with someone. We would have to choose the right words to sort of share it as closely to truth as we have perceived it sort of in our dream.
Yes, yes.
And it gives another dimension to it to share it with someone.
Yes.
Even if the other person is just listening and not even weighing in on the symbolic of it.
Yes.
It sort of gives it something more.
And sometimes you remember more about the dream all of a sudden when you're doing this.
Right, that's true.
Forgotten.
Yeah. Sometimes when you wake up and you know you have dreamt this thing, but it's sort of, it's vanishing quickly, and then it can come back in the afternoon again.
Yes, and I find that when I wake up, the first thing I need to do is write it down.
Mm.
And I may write down exactly what I remember, and I know that it did not start at the beginning.
Right.
But I still write it down where I remember.
Whatever
as
you
I wrote
remember.
Down, and then all of a sudden I start remembering something from the beginning. And other times I thought, well, I need to start at the beginning. And I think and think and think and think and think, and all of a sudden nothing is there.
Right.
At all.
Right. So you sort of erase it by working too hard on it. So you have to sort of dive in where you have the memory of it and then go from there.
And other times I'll dive in like right at the middle and write it down. And after I got all the dream together, I thought, spirit is just so wise. Because where I had remembered it was the caption. That was the book. Caption, the cover.
Oh, right.
And that the whole thing was all about that. And then the beginning was saying, we're going to ease in this to make it easier for you to handle. And then get that part and then the rest of it. And it was really interesting. So it doesn't matter where where in the dream you first remember.
Just right, or where we start interpreting.
Right.
Really, it sort of adds on while we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
But here, of course, you are assuming something that I also agree on, that dreams have something to tell us.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. It's like our inner life.
Yes.
What's going on? What processes do we have that we're sort of unconsciously thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
And things that we might need to address, but we sort of push away a little because we don't feel we have the time to go into that again or whatever it is. But then it goes on in our dreams, and
yes,
and it also is, I guess, a way to, as simple as just addressing things that happened yesterday. Like many people say, oh, it's just dreams, they're just showing us, you know, what happened yesterday, and we're sort of processing it.
Yeah, and I saw a person with a red plaid shirt in yesterday, and that person was in my dream, and
right.
You know, and it may have something to do with their inner work.
But it could also be just that we're using, you know, things that we encountered yesterday as puppets in our puppet show.
Yeah,
right.
So but it still had to do with us,
right? But this person might not have anything to do with my inner life or process. It
right.
could be just a good example of a person who is like this or that uh-huh. we sort of feel.
Yeah.
So we use material from our everyday mm-hmm. life for making theater about our inner life, right?
Yes.
In
yes.
a way.
I
yeah.
like that theater. Yeah.
Our inner theater.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And there was a time period where I was really having a rough time getting over a bad marriage.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, all my dreams were uplifting. They were joyous.
Oh, wow.
And then once I recovered from that and started in on the work, then I had some dreams that were kind of a little bit, come on, kids, you got to get back on the job here.
Right.
It is like spirit knows what to do.
Right.
Help us, you know, in whatever way.
So when we feel weighed down by something, maybe then the dreams can actually sort of uplift us and
yes.
give us energy and sort of, there you go.
Yes.
You know, everything's going to work out fine and
yeah.
things like that. Yeah, that's a nice thought.
And the time period when I was really working on those dreams and remembering them every hour and a half, two hours, I was teaching school, and it was right in the middle. I would get up of doing a Broadway musical in school. So I'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, be at school by 8 o'clock, teach a whole day, have a work with an ensemble for an hour after school or something from the show, then go across the street, have a dinner, come back and work with some other people, and then go from 7 to 9 with the,
right.
the musical. So
very
I wouldn't
intense.
Get home to almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was starting to get to the point where I thought, this musical, I'm not being paid for this. I'm being paid for the music I do during the school time, and I don't want to jeopardize that.
Right.
And do you know that must have been the same time where I woke up the next morning. I had not wakened up at all during the night.
Oh,
not
so
even
you read.
Once. And all the only dream I had, it was a 5 lines of the musical staff and a treble clef and a note B flat. And I even heard the note B flat. And I knew instantly what it was meaning. It said, B flat. Just relax.
Right.
That was just the most wonderful.
Right.
It's like, thank you, spirit. I needed vacation from all that
right.
dream stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get too agitated about it. Relax.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I'd had that dream decades before, I might have thought, well, that's weird.
Yeah, B flat. Huh.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, but it comes when it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
There.
And you sort of understand, you wouldn't understand it until you really looked at it.
Yes.
The symbol. So if you wouldn't have given any attention to that dream, you would have had that uplifting dream anyway.
Yeah.
Sort of relax, you know, but...
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, it added, it enriched your understanding of it, and it gave you something very, that you really needed in your awake life, you know, the feeling that, okay, cool it.
And even,
fine.
I imagine our spiritual studies and our spiritual growth at times really does need a vacation.
Exactly. We can't work on it all the time, right?
No,
it's too much.
Yeah.
But it's interesting also how then sharing a dream enriches your awake life. And I remember during periods when I have paid attention to my dreams, and I decided now I want to understand my dreams and what's going on.
Yeah.
Usually in the beginning, maybe I wouldn't remember so much, but just starting that work, you know, to write it down, as you said, when I wake up, I would sort of write down, even if it's just one little thing, you know, I would write it down. And then eventually by doing that work, I'm sort of activating something in me that makes me more aware of my dreams and remember them better.
Yeah.
Just because I do the work, because I have the intention that I want
to. Intention. Intention's everything.
Right. That's true. So that intention sort of implants myself to actually remember my dreams. That, hey, I need to remember this. This was an interesting dream.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be aware of it when I wake up. And then it sort of becomes very, very pregnant. I like that word.
And I think when you first wake up, you don't want to do anything. Just don't even turn on a bright light. Have a flashlight, a low caliber flashlight there, and paper and pen right by your bed so you can write it down right away.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be neat or anything. Mm-mm. Just write it down, exactly. Because as soon as the wake life starts and you get more conscious, the dreams sort of fade away.
Yeah, don't need punctuation, don't need good spelling. It just needs to be down there so that you can read it later.
Right. And also when the dream fades away, also the emotions around the dream fade away, right?
Yes. Oh, yes, that is so important because I once heard somebody tell about the dream and I thought, oh, that must be awful. But I knew enough not to say that and to ask her, what were you feeling when you were dreaming that? And she said, oh, it just was so relief and just so uplifting.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's interesting.
Right. It's a horrible nightmare and it was really uplifting. Right. Uh-huh.
And then what are your emotions when you wake up and write down the dream and remember them?
Mm-hmm.
It may be the same as in the dream. It may be quite different.
Ah, the emotions you have towards your dream when you remember it and the emotions you actually had in your dream.
Yes. The emotions in the dream are the most important.
Okay.
And then the very next thing when you wake up, those emotions tell you what was going on. And if there's a conflict between the two, there's something about that dream that is telling you about a conflict. Maybe something you just don't understand yet.
Right.
About your own self.
Right.
What you're going through may not be as bad as you thought it was, or maybe something else about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives you hints on what's going on within.
Yes.
Because dreams then, as we are talking about it now, dreams are sort of shows us something about our inner life, our psychological life.
Yes.
How our emotions and what's going on in our life right now.
Yes. And I think it has something to do with what we signed on to do in this lifetime too. Where our talents, our strengths, the things that are stumbling blocks for us that give us a little bit of problem.
Right.
They're a way for spirit to give us guidance.
Right.
At a level where we are receptive.
Right.
When we're in the sleep state, we're the most receptive.
So you see, really dream, your view of dreams is really that it's also very much spirit that communicates to us.
Yes.
And not just from our inner life.
I think it's probably both.
Right.
Because all of our self is important.
Exactly.
Our conscious mind, subconscious mind, our spiritual mind, our spiritual growth, everything is together.
Right. And I guess sleeping and dreaming is a good way to mix all that together.
Yes.
It's a soup, a dream soup.
Yes.
Where it connects both to our inner life and how we perceive ourselves in the world right now.
Yes.
And what's going on in our psychological selves. And then also what spirit and God is trying to sort of help us with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or give us uplifting thinking or maybe make us address things that we need to look at a little more.
Yes.
So it's a dream soup, really.
Yes, it is. good soup.
And it has different vegetables in it at different times, right?
And sometimes it's what we don't like is hidden in there in some way.
Right, if it's a soup we don't like. Oh, I don't like that type of soup. That's very interesting.
And it is nice, the metaphors that come up for us. And it's important. Sometimes I found when I was writing them down, I didn't use all the and that and there and all that sort of thing, but I just wrote down this symbol, the sun was shining, this symbol there, this symbol the other.
Yeah.
And then when I start describing each symbol and really working it around, it just became so much more detailed and more in-depth in its understanding.
Yeah. So, and this is probably also the reason why a dream group or sharing your dream is is so beneficial, because you make it in wording, because in the dream, of course, usually it's images that happen to us, and then we sort of, we give it another dimension by just telling it as a story.
Yes.
And also then the symbols, to remember that they mean different things for different people.
Yes.
So interpreting the dream or making use of a dream book for understanding, we need to sort of choose the right book that gives us maybe not specific symbols or meanings.
Yes. It gives us a choice.
Yeah.
And what you choose for the symbols in your dreams, there may be different words in that dream book, that dictionary, that someone else would choose.
Exactly.
It's we have to choose according to what is right for us.
Right, like you said in the beginning when we started talking about our own language.
Yes.
And maybe it differs also during different times of our lives. I mean, a symbol can change its meaning, and also depending on how it conveys to us in the dream.
Yes.
So things change, and we need to be our own true interpreters and trust what we sense about the dream, right?
Mm-hmm. And yet in a dream group, if each person is saying, well, you know, if I had that dream you had, I would interpret it this way. And somebody else would say, well, if I had that dream, I would interpret it this way.
Right.
So there may be something that someone else would interpret their way.
Yeah.
That rings a bell in you, say, oh yeah, that probably is what I would take it to.
Exactly.
But in a dream study group like that, it's always the dreamer who has the last word as to what it means.
Exactly, which is so important.
Yes.
And also in this article about dream groups, it was very important to keep the time frame, to sort of not talk too long.
Yes.
Not, when you tell your dream, tell it, like, let's say 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody isn't talking too long and taking too much time.
Yeah.
And it also gives that value to the dream. So we have these 10 minutes and we share it, and then maybe the dream group talks about it during another 10 minutes, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So it sort of keeps the integrity of both the dream and the dreamer, and also what people say about the dream.
Yeah.
So, and also to not have it ongoing too long, to decide that maybe we'll have a dream group during 4 months and then stop the dream group, because it creates a dynamic in the dream group that might need a break.
Yes.
Maybe some people would like to stop after a while and other people come in. Mm-hmm. And also it gives this sense of value to that we're looking at this dream group during this time only. So it gives that sort of sharpness to it.
Yes. Yes. And you, when you're involved in something like that, I should think that after a while, you could do more of it yourself.
Exactly. It creates sort of a template of how to do it. And maybe during a while, it's nice to share your dreams, but then after a while, you might feel that I don't want to share my dreams anymore.
Right.
And it's important to adhere to that.
Yes.
To have respect for
what
you want with these dreams that you have.
Yes.
Hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Some people don't remember dreams at all.
Some people, they don't feel like they need to be aware of their dreams.
Yeah. And yet they still
dream.
On them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the dreams do what they are supposed to do, even if you don't want to talk about your dreams.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So the, and also it's like sleep, you know, you don't have to pay so much attention to sleep as long as you get it. You know, it does what it does.
Yes, that's true.
Okay,
well, thank you very much.
Thank you. See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annelie.